Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you're listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show. Everybody, welcome back to the Goody Reader Radio Show. My name is, of course, Michael. It's August 19, 2012, and you just listened to the Dum Dum Girls with Lord Knows. Over the course of the last week, we saw two major e-reader releases. We saw the Sony PRS-T2 and the B-Book Pure, and today we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about Autography and how they're suing the Tampa Bay Devil Rays over the use of their proprietary technology, and we'll run down some of the latest and most essential news items over the last week. Without further ado, one of the main things that has happened is Sony has released the T2. Now, this is a follow-up to the original T1, or the Sony wireless reader that was released last year. You see a resolution of about 600 by 800, 16 levels of grayscale, and 1.3 gigs of internal memory. It does have a micro SD, and you can expand that up to 32 gigs. How this has really changed from the last model is that it's less glossy, and the overall design is a little bit different. So you won't be able to fit the T2 in the T1 cases, which is why about a week or two ago, Sony had discontinued not only the PRS-T1, but also the accessories to go with it, because with the new model, the old accessories won't work. The killer features behind this is e-ink pearl display, and it has infrared touchscreen technology. It also has 6 built-in dictionaries, and you can translate specific word or phrases into, say, English, French, or Spanish. It comes with a stylus, and there's a built-in holder for it, so you won't be able to lose it. There is Facebook and Evernote integration in this new model, so you'll be able to share specific passages and such with your friends on Facebook as well as Evernote. Google Books is mysteriously absent from it. You saw with the T1 when it first came out that it tapped into millions of books offered by Google. Because Google integrated Google Books into Google Play, Sony is not allowed to tap into there anymore, but you can do business with Sony directly through their online store, and it also has overdrive functionality baked right into the menu. Sony is one of the only companies, if not the only one, that actually has overdrive built right into the e-reader firmware. This will allow you to borrow books from your local library as long as they do business with overdrive, and it will allow you to basically, you know, purchase an e-reader, but to be able to borrow books. Most other e-readers that have OverDrive functionality, they make you jump through a lot of hoops. You got to log in through the OverDrive website. you know, transfer the books to your e-reader via Adobe Digital Editions. And with Sony, it's very easy. You click on the OverDrive icon, you enter your, you know, four-digit PIN number as well as your library card number, and you're pretty well good to go to be able to borrow books and have them sent right to your device. So if you love, you know, borrowing books from the library, the Sony PRS-T2 is probably the e-reader for you. One of the reasons why I really like Sony's line of e-readers is that it's a 6-inch e-reader, but it's the best in the business for PDF files. Most e-readers read PDF, but Sony has a lot of functionality to really allow you to customize the PDF experience. It has a lot of reflow, a lot of advantages to be able to do different levels of zoom and to be able to get, say, scan copies of comics, newspapers, looking really good. So that's one of the strongest assets on the Sony e-reader line. If you live outside Canada and the US, Sony is not going to be able to release this anytime soon, so you might want to get this from www.shopereaders.com. Most retailers aren't actually stocking this yet. Even Sony's main website is saying that it's not going to be even shipping these devices until August the 20th. So this coming Monday is when you're going to first see it. To give you an added incentive to purchase this e-reader, Sony is giving away one free Harry Potter book. So it's the first book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. This is from Pottermore, and this is a free book to come with it. So a lot of companies give you, say, free classic books, so it's kind of cool that they're actually giving away a pretty popular book. Obviously, Harry Potter books goes without saying that it's done quite well in the industry. Another e-reader that's been released over the course of the last week was the BeBook Pure. And we reported on this in January of 2012 when it first happened, but Endless Ideas went bankrupt and they were the owners of BeBook. And the Bass Group, less than a month later, had purchased the company. Up until then, BeBook was pretty woeful in customer service and in firmware updates and in community building and things like that. Let me give you my experience of dealing with Endless Ideas. We had reviewed the BeBook Club S, I believe, last year. And they wouldn't send us a free review copy, which is fine. So we purchased it. We did our unboxing. We powered it on. Nothing happened. We consulted the forums and found out that a lot of the BeBook things rolled off the assembly line with firmware that wasn't up to par. So they gave us a FedEx number. We sent it back to the company. They sent us a new one. It worked fine, and we hung on to it. Then we gave it away to a winner in a contest. But a month later, we received a bill for about $198. Apparently, when we used their FedEx account, they billed us for shipping it there and then shipping it back again. So not only did we have to pay for the e-reader itself, which was about $180, but then we had to foot an additional $198 just to return it and get a functioning model back. So it really jaded us from dealing with this company. But now that the Bass Group has taken over, they seem to have a little bit better of an idea. They're a much larger company, and you're looking at pretty well a very budget conscientious reader here. It's basically seen a European release at this point, so it's in the Netherlands, Germany, the Czech Republic, in the UK, and it's also making its way to Australia. You're looking at about £69, or it's close to about 90 euros, which is about like $110, $120 or so in North American funds. It's basically aimed at people that like the Tectonic feel of buttons and being able to churn pages by pressing buttons. So it's not touch screen. It has an e-ink Visplex display, so it's one of the earliest iterations of e-ink technology. A resolution 800 by 600, 16 levels of a grayscale, a 600 megahertz single core processor along with 4 gigs of internal memory. Also, of course, you can expand it up to 32 gigs via the micro SD card. The ebook formats are supported. So if you love downloading books from the internet or having a little bit more control over the ebook experience, does text, PDF, EPUB, FB2, HTML, RTF, MOBI. So there's no shortage here, right, of books formats that it can read. It doesn't really have Wi-Fi, so you can't really tap into any ebook ecosystems. But the company did actually send us an email to tell us a little bit about it. They basically said that they consulted with Sony and a bunch of other companies before they released this. And ironically enough, Sony had said that less than 5% of users that had, say, the PRS T1 actually bought ebooks directly on the device. So, you know, the Bass Group, you know, who's B-Book now, they basically said, all right, well, you know, a lot of people aren't purchasing ebooks directly on the device, so what's the point of having Wi-Fi and adding that extra cost? So we'll just let customers sort of fend for themselves and download ebooks, you know, themselves from the internet or from various companies. You know, you can do business with Barnes & Noble, Kobo, anybody that sells books in EPUB format, and then use Adobe Digital Editions to transfer them to your device. Just jumping through a little bit hoops, but it's a very cost-effective e-reader. I don't not necessarily want to say cheap, because cheap usually denotes like the quality of it, but it seems to not be doing too well. We're going to be reviewing both the Sony PRS T2 as well as the B-Book Pure in the coming weeks, so stay tuned if you want our hands-on impressions as well as video reviews, comparisons, and all that jazz on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/goodereader. Amazon had released figures recently saying The Hunger Games trilogy by Suzanne Collins has become their number one selling ebooks on Amazon.com. It's actually sold more than the Harry Potter franchise. It's been in the top 10 lists for both print and Kindle formats, and it is also the most borrowed books in the Kindle Owners Lending Library. If you look at it, when the Hunger Games trilogy first came out, they hit ebooks and print at the very same time. So it has sold more than Harry Potter, but don't forget, Harry Potter is very late to the game with Pottermore. It was only a few months ago that Harry Potter actually adopted a digital strategy. So that's partly the reason why they have been able to outsell them, because, you know, these ebooks from Suzanne Collins have been around for years, and so they've, you know, they've sold more than 50 million copies of the three books. So they've done quite well for themselves. And you only have to really log into Amazon to see these books at the top, not only from the Kindle Owners Lending Library, but when you purchase these books, they also are lending enabled. So you can lend them to your friends one time for up to 2 weeks. Where with the Harry Potter books, they use they don't necessarily use digital rights management or encryption. They basically have watermarks to have people made accountable if you're going to be able to upload these books to be shared on, say, torrent sites or file sharing sites. John Wiley and Sons has sold off their travel assets to Google. They have basically had their former line of travel guides, and they sold it for about $25 million to Google, as well as the website and all. Wiley and Sons basically is getting rid of some of the stuff or their assets that weren't really performing well for them. So if you have stuff that's not performing very well, Google is certainly making a huge play into the book sphere. So why not sell to them? We have a story that we have broke last week. Tom Waters with Autography. Ever since Autography really launched, we've basically been a big fan of the company. We've done a live ebook autographing sessions with H.P. Mallory and a bunch of other authors, using, you know, live videos and everything like that. So we've really been at the forefront, helping autography grow, and they've been doing really well. They participate at virtually every big publishing event, and there's a big legal drama right now with them and the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, which you might have heard of them if you follow Major League Baseball. Basically, autography and the Devil Rays had been in negotiations for about the last year. They were offering technology to allow baseball players to autograph digital baseball cards. And so this is really cool because, you know, not only is ebooks and digital publishing going into, you know, the computer age, but so is baseball cards. And this is sort of a little known fact. So they were trying to develop some sort of technology between the two companies that would allow people to participate in like Twitter and Facebook at the stadium. If you go to actually see a game, everybody would get like a digital baseball card or like the team set that would be autographed and then sent to them via email. What had happened is the Devil Rays were like, after about a year of negotiation and, of course, non-disclosure agreements and no compete agreements were signed, the partnership didn't happen. What had happened is the Devil Rays actually wanted to buy autography out, but they didn't want to sell. So what the Devil Rays did is they formed a splinter company named eGraph. What they did is they took all the technology that autography had shared with them and started their own company to offer the same services. So it's pretty shady. And so we'll see how this plays out in the court system. But I mean, autography should win. I mean, they signed all these agreements. There's a big paper trail. And it just seems that, you know, the Devil Rays were like, you're not going to sell us the company? Well, if you guys, we're just going to start our own company and, you know, do something similar. And, you know, it's going to come across and basically bite them on the ass. Speaking of ebooks, they're going to be a huge priority this year at the Delhi Book Fair in India. Of course, India is currently the third largest book and publishing market in the world, and they're going to put more of an emphasis on electronic books at this year's event. One of the organizers said, "We cannot pretend to be ignorant about technology when it's staring us right in the face. The popularity of ebooks, especially among the younger generation, has increased beyond our expectations." So the focus of this year will be, of course, ebooks. In fact, we have a 2-day training program in which we will teach you how to convert books into ebooks. This will be beneficial to authors as well as publishers. And this is from the Delhi Book Fair director. So probably everybody who's listening is not going to be attending this unless you're, you know, in the industry. So one of the pitfalls of the digital publishing market in India is that there are a fair number of major languages, you know, Punjab, Hindi, things like that. And then you have, of course, a lot of regional dialects. There's about 6 major languages across the country that people speak. And so if you look at e-readers, they haven't really done too well there because it's really hard to program all these localization aspects with e-books. So although e-readers aren't doing too well in India, tablets are doing really good because they have, you know, with Android, it has a lot of different language support, has even keyboards for these languages. And so people are finding that tablets in India have a lot more market penetration. But of course, publishers haven't really caught up to offering a lot of digital content in India. So you have the third largest book market in the world that's basically behind the times in print publishing because this is the way that it's been most accessible. It's been in the most hands. But if you look at, say, like the Aktash tablet, which is only like $39 to $40, tablets are becoming more accessible for like the commoners in India, like the common folk, right? So of course, there isn't a lot of a huge gulf between like the haves and have-nots in India. It's like in most countries where you have a lot of people that are, you know, don't have a lot of money. And so, you know, buying these like tablets that are $20 or $30 is very economically feasible. And if you can get digital content, that's even a bonus. But unfortunately, in India, there's not a lot of digital content to be had. when we're looking at, you know, back to school and everything like that, there's a lot of tablets out there to meet your needs. A lot of users are sending us emails, they're sending us private messages, they're commenting on our forums or our posts on goodyreader.com/blog. They're saying, what should I get for back to school? You know, I want to borrow digital textbooks. I you know, student loan money only goes so far if you take into account food, drinking, and rent. So one of the things I would probably recommend is the Galaxy Tab 2 Student Edition. It's up until about September 1st is when it's going to be available. It's only available, say, for like 2 weeks. You're looking at $250. It comes in with a few accessories at no cost. You get a dockable keyboard, a USB adapter that will allow the tablet to be connected to other USB devices. It's basically like the same size as the Kindle Fire, the Nook tablet, and a lot of 7 inches. It's fairly solid in terms of processor and everything like that, so I would recommend that. If you're looking for a tablet for back to school, I'd probably recommend the new iPad if you have a fairly big budget. Just because with iOS, I mean, that's where most apps and games see their first time releases, as well as major applications like No and Course Smart and things like that actually have apps for there. Secondary, I'd look at Android devices because those companies have issued apps for there as well. Everybody from eBay to Amazon, who's now renting textbooks, could be rented through there. So I'd look at the Galaxy Tab 2 Student Edition. I'd look at the new Apple iPad, and then I would start looking at most tablets that cost between like $200 and about $250. So the Google Nexus 7 would probably be a good buy if you can find it. It has quad core processor, so you'll be able to not only read textbooks but also play 1080p movies and have a battery that pretty well will last you all day long. If you're looking for digital textbooks, I would probably look at Course Smart. I would probably look at No. It's spelled K-N-O. And I would also look at Amazon because most of these companies function outside the States. But if you live in the States, you know, No and Amazon are probably no-brainers, as well as Course Smart. So you have three companies that will rent you textbooks for the entire semester. You can take notes, you can do annotations, and if you need them longer than a semester, a lot of them have deals where you could rent them by day, by month, or you can even rent them for another semester at a reduced cost. So check out Course Smart, check out No, and check out Amazon. Amazon actually does not only digital textbooks, but they also rent physical textbooks too. Just make sure that you're not writing in the books or taking big bites out of it or ripping out pages and making origami Yodas or paper airplanes, or you're going to have to basically pay for the whole textbook. So for all the people that have been asking us about what companies to do business with, those three I mentioned are good to deal with. And again, if you're looking for cool tablets, the Nexus 7, the Galaxy Tab 2 7-inch Student Edition, or the new iPad are probably my biggest recommendations for that. In other e-reader news, we want to say a little something about Pottermore and Harry Potter. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Pottermore has released 2 new books for the Harry Potter saga. It's Quidditch Through the Ages and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. These were original paperbacks. You can think of them as the expanded Harry Potter universe. They're both written by J.K. Rowling. They're not full novels, but they are... it's like Star Wars. You know, you have like the core 6 books, and then you have the expanded universe. You can think of these 2 books as like the expanded universe, but playing directly within the Harry Potter franchise. They're about $4 each. You can have them delivered to your Kindle, your Sony, or virtually any other e-reader via Pottermore.com. So make sure you check that out. In other news, we have preliminary launched, at least in beta, our new ebook trailer service. So if you're an independent author, if you're a small publishing company, and you're looking to give a competitive advantage over your competitors, I would check out our ebook trailer service. what this is really all about is, if you've ever checked out Amazon, some of the biggest authors have YouTube videos where they have a trailer on their book, much like a movie trailer, or it might have an interview with an author where they're talking about what's new, you know, maybe in their continuing saga. I mean, James Patterson, you know, has, you know, his Alex Cross series. They have like the Women's Murder Club series, and they have a lot of books. So, you know, having a little video that sums up everything that's happened up until this book's release is good news. Trailers for books traditionally are only available to people that belong to major labels. Major labels provide this sort of service in order to buffer your press kit and to give yourself some marketing. So if you email sites, hey, review my book, hey, check out the trailer, check out, you know, the first five chapters, you know, whatever, right? But with independent authors, you know, if you're self-published on Smashwords, or if you're self-published on, you know, using say Kindle Direct or Kindle Digital Publishing, there really isn't a lot of options for the self-published author to market themselves effectively. Everybody uses Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, everybody's using Facebook and Twitter, so you're not really standing out in a crowd anymore. Neither is having your own blog standing out in the crowd. We formed eBook Trailers in conjunction with a number of authors that were telling us, look, you know, we need a way that I could give people a visual cue on what my book's about without really giving too much away. Our ebook trailers are all done, 30 seconds to about a minute. We use your ebook cover art. We, you know, get you, you know, when you send us your book summary, we incorporate that in. We do CG, animation, music, and we really do our best to be able to give you the marketing tools that you really need in order to make yourself distinctive and to really stand out in a crowd. These ebook trailers, once you upload them to, say, YouTube, which we'll show you how to do if you don't have any experience doing that at all, that you could embed these videos into your Amazon book listing, into your Barnes & Noble book listing, to your Kobo book listing. You can put it on your blog. You can tweet about it. And this way, most people will click on a YouTube video if you embed it into your Facebook timeline. And if it's only 30 seconds, most people will watch it. So we've really sort of checked out how long is too long. And 30 seconds to about a minute is like perfect, because it gives you a taste, but it doesn't give you too much. And at the end of the ebook trailer, we'll put your Facebook profile, your Twitter profile, links to purchase them, as well as your book cover art and things like that. So you can have a ton of self-promotion there. You can check out goodyreader.com. We have an ebook trailer section there, or you can click on our blog at goodyreader.com/blog, and we have an ebook trailer section, as well as two sample videos. In the coming weeks, we're going to be basically doing sample videos across all the genres. So right now we have a paranormal video, we have a kids video, soon we'll be doing a mystery video, a romance video, and a fantasy one. So we're trying to cover all the major literary genres just to kind of give you an indication on what we can do for you. So price-wise, it's $99. You pay via PayPal, and so very cost effective, and considering that sometimes with your first book or second book, it takes 6 months to a year to pump one out. Marketing is tremendously important, and this is really why we do a spotlight on indie authors on GoodyReader, where we interview them. We do ebook reviews, one or two every single week. We really try to offer tips and tools to self-published authors to really generate more sales, because it's not enough anymore to just write a book and to self-publish it. Despite what some authors would say, where self-publishing is the lazy route to go, I don't think that's the case at all. I think self-publishing empowers people. And if for people that have that entrepreneurial spirit, or the type of people that want to DIY approach it, where they don't want to be shackled down, they don't want to be paying royalties, they don't want to involve, you know, a company kind of giving them direction and saying, you know, you've written a paranormal book and it's done quite well. You want to do a kid's book? I don't know about that. I think you should write a sequel to your paranormal book. But I want to write a kid's book. But nothing. You can't write a kid's book. And so, you know, if you belong to a major label, and often cases, you can't self-publish by yourself because it's usually in the contract to not do that. So for self-published authors, for indie authors, our ebook trailer service might be good for you. We sort of just launched this, but we have a good crew of people that have all went to film school for 3 or 4 years, that have all worked in the film industry in Vancouver. As you know, we're known as Hollywood North here, so there's a lot of films that are always being shot here. So we have a good crew of editors, of video artists, CG artists, and things like that. So not only can you have an ebook trailer of yourself, but we'll also showcase it on our website as well. So every month we have close to about 6 to 12 million people that visit our site. So you can get some added exposure by doing our ebook trailer service, because we'll promote you as well, not only on our website, but on our YouTube channel. So that's basically all the big news here. I want to let you guys know that our app store is still currently going strong. So if you have a BlackBerry Playbook, whether it's the 4G LTE model or the original Wi-Fi model, you might want to check out the Goody Reader App Store. We have Android apps that are mainly geared towards tablets because, let's face it, we cover a lot of tablet news. We never talk about phones. So most of our apps are geared towards tablets with a stronger emphasis on reading newspapers, magazines, online RSS readers, comic book apps, ebook apps, and things like that. So goodyreader.com/apps is the place to go, and you can see some of our sample videos on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/goodyreader. And keep in mind, we are going to be reviewing a ton of e-readers this week, so keep on checking our site every day, because we are going to be not only doing a few e-readers, but also a few mystery tablets, which we'll talk about a little later on. Of course, if you use Twitter, you can follow us at Good E-Reader, and at Facebook, you can search us out for Good E-Reader as well. So my name is Michael, and I hope you've enjoyed our week in review. Everybody, take care.